WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The White House says President Biden's comments about Trump supporters being garbage was referring to the Trump rally that the comedian who said Puerto Rico was a floating piece of garbage, not referencing all Trump supporters. Vice President Kamala Harris, on her way to North Carolina, downplayed the president's response, saying she fully supports all people, regardless of party.
First of all, he clarified his comments, but let me be clear, I strongly disagree with any criticism of people based on who they vote for.
Harris and Donald Trump both campaigning in North Carolina and Wisconsin today. The U.S. economy grew by 2.8% annual rate in the third quarter, consumers driving growth despite stubborn inflation and interest rates. The U.S. Central Command says the military targeted known ISIS camps in Syria Monday, killing 35 from the terror group. That response follows a raid this month in Iraq that injured two American service members. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Enrollment at the universities of Wisconsin has seen a solid uptick this fall despite a significant drop in enrollment at branch campuses. Overall, UW campuses saw an increase of about 1.2% for the fall 2024 semester, equivalent to about 1,900 new students. UW-Madison has the largest enrollment as expected, with nearly 52,000 students. UW-Milwaukee was second with about 22,000, and UW-Oshkosh was third with about 13,000. The enrollment increase marks the second straight year of growth at UW schools. With the election just days away, this year's race for the 3rd Congressional District in Wisconsin has become the most expensive in district history. According to campaign finance documents, Republican incumbent Derek Van Orden and Democratic challenger Rebecca Cook have raised nearly $12 million in total. Congressman Van Orden raised more, with $6.6 million through mid-October. Cook raised about $5.3 million through the same point. Polling shows the district is one of the most competitive in the country. Some Hayward area residents had a chance to get some boating safety instruction at a seminar this week. The organization that hosted the seminar, Fishing Has No Boundaries, is focused on helping people of all ability levels get out on the water to enjoy a fun day of fishing. The seminars were for volunteers with Fishing Has No Boundaries, hoping to share tips and tricks from various chapters of the organization to maximize their impact. The Hayward seminar session was conducted by U.S. Coast Guard auxiliary instructors. Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany has significantly outraised his Democratic challenger Kyle Kilborn with just a few days left before the election. According to campaign finance reports, Tiffany has raised nearly $1.2 million through mid-October, compared to just $215,000 from Kilborn. Tiffany also reported having about $210,000 left over for the last 3 weeks of the campaign, while Kilborn reported having about $35,000 left over. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
A Brewers coach signs an extension. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. Baseball, the Brewers have renewed the contract of pitching coach Chris Hook. The 56-year-old Hook, who has worked his way up in the organization for 20 years, signed a multi-year extension with the team yesterday. He's credited with developing the team's young pitching talent. The Yankees won Game 4 of the World Series last night in New York, 11-4 over the Dodgers. Game 5 is tonight, Los Angeles leading 3-1. NBA, the Bucks are in Memphis. They face the Grizzlies tomorrow night on Halloween. The NFL trade deadline is coming up next Tuesday. Yesterday, the Packers signed linebacker Jamin Davis to their practice squad. Davis had been a first-round pick for Washington 3 years ago and was asked how familiar he is with the Packers.
Ironically, I got a chance to watch him a little bit last year, and it's crazy now that I might actually get an opportunity to play for him. But currently, I'm just honestly soaking everything all in, and hopefully I can get to work and just watch as much film as possible.
That's Packers linebacker Jamin Davis with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Here we go. Those temperatures are crashing. Got rain rolling in, ramping up tonight, potentially mixing with snow through the overnight and into early tomorrow morning before it flips to all snow tomorrow afternoon. Trick-or-treat forecast, temperatures will be at 34 degrees. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 51 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
Darren Van Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories. And in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Will you dress up for Halloween, and what will you wear?
I'm not going to lie, I'm a lazy Halloweener.
A lazy Halloweener.
I just wore a football jersey and call it a day.
I have a prisoner costume, and it goes on over your other clothes, so I'll probably put that on when I take trick-or-treaters. I was never a huge Halloween guy to begin with. Never a huge Halloweener. A new phrase has been coined here tonight.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, what is the state of the race in Wisconsin? Ben Wickler will be here. J.R. Radcliffe to talk all things sports. We wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Live on location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer, back at the home studio high atop State Street. A block off the Capitol Square, we are live on location here in beautiful Osceola. Well, I'm going to be with this on 24. It is a Wednesday. What's it is?
Pump day.
It seems we're having some connection
the camel
issues with
even
Tom,
lagging.
But we're
not just
it.
The video. The camel is also lagging, as it turned out.
It's a good busy thing I'm doing your job, Zomer.
Well, here we are, a beautiful, iconic North Skinook. And, of course, joining us, as he does every Wednesday, from beautiful Lake Wissota, just north of where we're at right now, is Mr. Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, every morning from 6 until 8. Patrick, how are you?
I'm fine. I have this nice crisp clear signal. Whereas, as you can tell, Mr. Zommers and I have been looking at you askance as we hear you coming in and out, which I'm now going to call the Chippewa Valley Jinx. Given the issues that we had at the Harris Walls rally. Remember that in Eau Claire. Remember what a fun day that was.
Yes.
But
I'm
thinking
exactly.
Now. Now we hear you so well with your camera off. I believe we can
really
we can,
okay,
draw,
good,
we can
good.
Draw some lessons from this, can't we?
Which is Todd should be heard and not seen.
Something along those lines, exactly. So now, not being able to see the handsome gentleman next to you, do you want to introduce them?
Yes, absolutely we do. And they've been with us all week. We're so pleased to have them along here in beautiful Osceola, Mr. Galen, the co-founder of the Lincoln Project, also now president of the Union, a pro-democracy organization, and Trigvi Olson, a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, like myself, a Wisconsin dude, and grew up not too far from here in beautiful River Falls, and we have finally arrived at a place in Wisconsin where people don't say, what? They're just like, oh, yeah, Trigvi, because everybody's, you know, everybody knows a Trigvi up here in Osceola.
They do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, great, guys, it's great to be here.
This is one of the greatest places.
And Reed, your first time here in Osceola? You walked around a little bit?
It's my first time here in Osceola. I walked around. I walked next door to Board and Bricks, I think, which was a really cool store of all sorts of games, cards, more Lego sets than you could imagine. Very cool. And I had a piece of pecan fudge pie to start my day, which I think if everybody should, they could. If they could, they should. But yes, I cannot wait for the turkey sandwich after we're off the.
I violated the Ten Commandments. You were coveting my turkey sandwich.
I was. Absolutely was.
But I'll buy you one. Your own.
We are.
You get the whole, not the half.
And you're going to be surprised when we arrive tonight. packed quite a little trick. You read it myself. A little meet and greet down on near campus there at Eau Claire, 6:30 until 7:30. Pat, tell me, help me out with the place we're going to tonight. The same place we went last time.
I'm pretty sure we're going to Dooley's Pub there on Fifth and Water. The former site, the former site of the camaraderie. The camaraderie, of course.
Let me check because the way this. So I was told we were going to the District Pub and Grill, but maybe that's wrong.
Oh. Well, that would be different. So, you told me it was where you were last time.
I'm looking at our itinerary.
That is not where we was.
I don't know. I think we're going to the District. So meet us at the District tonight in Eau Claire. It's at 101 Graham Avenue in Eau Claire. The District Pub and Grill. You can meet Pat Kretlow, Reed, and Trey and myself down there from 6:30 till 7:30. We're playing.
Right now. Oh, Mr. Zommers, what are we going to do with these boys over
Pat,
here?
We're gonna take over for Todd, Trigby, and Reed for a little bit here.
I think that might be wise. I understand they have a backup plan, so it's always good to have that.
It won't take long.
Yes,
but yes, in case you couldn't hear,
it might depend on the whims of Elon Musk, but you know we'll figure it out somehow.
Yes, and in case you couldn't hear them, which you couldn't tonight, if you want to meet up with Todd, Trigby, Reed Galen, and potentially Pat. I don't know who else is all going to show up. The itinerary.
Now that I know the right place to go, I'll be there. Yeah.
The District Pub and Grill in Eau Claire from 6:30 to 7:30 tonight is where they're going to be.
All right. Yeah, that was the plan to meet up with them. So hopefully we can see a lot of the listeners to the Todd Alba Radio Experience, and the Trigby Olson Fan Club is liable to be there as well.
Yeah, I don't know how it went yesterday in lacrosse, but I know on Monday night I showed up to In on the Park in Madison to the event, mm-hmm. and it was a lot of fun. Got to meet some people that I hadn't met before. I mean, obviously I've met Todd a couple of times, and then Trigby and Reed, I had met them before, but it was still cool. They gave a little speech about where they believe the campaign is at and what we're expecting to see. And also just hearing them tell some stories was a lot of fun. So I definitely recommend going if you can make it.
Oh, it's always a good time. And I, like I said, I was confused thinking that the last time that I had seen them in town was at the other place. But again, the same kind of setup. Wonderful listeners coming in who finally got to meet Todd and Trigby and got to hear their take. It's a nice thing when instead of just the structure of a radio show, when you can actually have some back and forth and talk about the political environment, ask their impressions of campaigns and races and things like that. So if you are a regular listener to Todd's show here, this is a great opportunity to get to, you know, hoist a pint with him, have maybe some apps, and engage in a little bit of a Q&A. And I promise that Trigby and I will do the best we can not to go full vaudevillian, but given the age jokes we keep making at each other, I can't, Aaron, make any certain promises here.
You know, no matter what happens, it's going to be entertaining, at least for everybody who shows up.
Oh, there's not any doubt there. And I'm glad we're doing it this evening, you know, not on Halloween itself. Eau Claire is, I know there's a lot said about Halloween in Madison, but Halloween in Eau Claire is a pretty big deal as well, especially in and around the campus area. Things might be a little bit crazy. We've got enough goblins already here, as you can tell just by the, you know, audio issues that we're having with Todd coming our way from Osseo. So let's try to minimize the ghosts and goblins when we have it. As the show was being put together, as Todd was getting set up there, Aaron, sounds like he gave you a little bit of a rundown of some of the things he wants to talk about, some of the audio that he might be playing during the show today.
Yeah, we've got some things about a Harris speech from yesterday, talking about how, you know, how she plans to be a president for everybody, not just for the people who vote for her, which is in stark contrast to, you know, what Trump has been saying, where he's going to defund states who don't vote for him, or defund the Department of Education, not send disaster aid to states that didn't vote for him, and so on.
a presidency based on, you know, nothing but retribution and personal grievances. Yes, something like that. And I thought it was extremely symbolic that she picked the very spot in the ellipse near the White House where Donald Trump sent forth the angry mob that tried to overturn an election, overthrow the government, in essence, perhaps cause great bodily harm to the vice president or members of Congress. There are still far too many people who do not appreciate what a close call January 6th was and just what could have happened and what could happen again with Donald Trump getting this close to, you know, sniffing the Oval Office again and the power that comes with it. We're working so hard to dispel the notion that a second Trump term would be harmless, that there are still enough guardrails and safeguards. And you need look no further than something I think Todd might get into when he rejoins the show here. And that is a decision this morning by the U.S. Supreme Court because of the six right-wing justices on that court that ruled today that Virginia's Republican governor and his administration could continue to purge the voter rolls less than a week before Election Day. It's said to be done in the name of finding, you know, undocumented immigrants and ineligible voters. It's already been proven that the way that they're looking at the records with a great big net is capturing a lot of people who are U.S. citizens and dropping them from the voter rolls. Now, fortunately, in Virginia, there is same-day voter registration. So much like in Wisconsin, if you find out that you're not on the roll, you can get re-registered. But that's not a small thing. It means bringing with you proof of residency as well as proof of ID to the polls. And the whole part of doing this is all a campaign of voter suppression, is to get people to throw up their hands and say, fine, I won't vote. If this is how things go, they're going to kick me off the rolls. I won't even bother re-registering. I won't even bother voting. That is absolutely by design. And it's why in Virginia and other places, you have a window close to Election Day where you don't engage in this kind of political mischief. And yet, Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin of Virginia was doing exactly that. And any other court in any other normal time would have said, get out of here. You had plenty of time to lock in the rolls. But now you're dropping U.S. citizens? I don't think so. But the six justices from the right wing on this Supreme Court this morning said, have at it. Right there in the same vein of how they said, if Donald Trump's back in office, he has absolute immunity to use the United States Department of Justice as his own police force. So please, again, don't tell us that there's some kind of safeguards against the way that Donald Trump would run a second term. It won't be anything like the first. I think more people are realizing that. I think Vice President Harris sounded that theme very well at the ellipse last night, but it's got to be reinforced because even though some 40 million Americans, including a million in Wisconsin, have voted already, this is still such a competitive state and a competitive electoral college that we can't help but continue to remind people of the stakes, not the odds, but the stakes of this race. All right, hopefully we'll have Mr. Alba back with us from Osseo on the Todd Alba Show. Pat Kreitlow sitting in here on this Wednesday morning on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back in just a moment.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Real quick, raise your hand if you want to lose an additional 4 bands a year. Go ahead and put your hands up. You voted for Kamala Harris. Oh, okay, my fault. Good, because I don't think people understand that voting for Trump means you will lose an additional $4,000 to $5,000 a year. If Trump is elected, he plans to add a 60% tariff on all imports from China. Anything in your house that says made in China, take the price that you paid for and add 60%. He plans to add a 20% tariff on all imports coming from every other country. With Kamala Harris's opportunity economy, she's not hitting you with the sales tax of doom. She's providing tax cuts to the middle and working class, so that means you will save an additional $4,000 to $5,000 a year. Plus the $25,000 she's literally handing to new homebuyers, like, you know who to vote for in this November's election. It's Kamala Harris. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. FFPAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballad?
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams. Composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long-ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The Kringle, Wood Violet, American Water Spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process can take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the Kringle, Wood Violet, and American Water Spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show. Pat Kreitlow pinch hitting here. Normally just taking questions and comments from Todd, but Todd and Reed and Trigvi are apparently, oh, look at that. They may have just popped right back in from beautiful Osseo. I just had a wonderful chat during the break with Elise Jordan, a former top official in the Bush administration, the George W. Bush administration, now a regular on morning show. She'll be standing by to talk to you guys coming up in less than 15 minutes from now. Gentlemen, welcome back. If you really needed another slice of pie that badly, you could have just asked to excuse yourselves. I would have been happy to fill in that way.
Pat Kreitlow, you have earned your pie. Let me just tell you that right now. You have earned your pie, and we will have one for you. Have no fear. Thank you very much, Pat. I really appreciate that. Thanks to Mr. Zommers and Chris and Trigvi and everybody who helped out. So we are, whether we like it or not, thank God Elon Musk gives us Starlink, because that's how we're coming to you now. Live from Osseo.
Thank you, Elon.
I know. Whether you like it or not, it was a lifesaver. So thanks, Pat. Really, really appreciate that. And yes, Elise Jordan will be coming up here in just a bit. So as we kind of pardon?
She was just on with Pat.
Well, I know we were talking during the break, and she is as curious. Yeah, she is as curious about Wisconsin as you are about her take on the national scene. So I did tell her the phrase that a lot of us use now and will continue to over these next 6 days is nauseously optimistic.
Hey, I wrote that. And, so that is his line. Hey, there's new polling out from CNN SSRS. Michigan, Harris up 5. She's winning women by plus 8.
That should be
Pennsylvania, even. She's winning women by plus 3. Trump's winning men by plus 4. Wisconsin, I'll save that for last. Arizona, Harris plus 1. Women plus 5. Trump plus 14 amongst men. Nevada, Trump plus 1, 5-7. And in Wisconsin, Harris up 6, plus 19 with women, plus 12 for Trump amongst men.
Hmm. And of course,
any minute we're going to get the Marquette University.
I was going to say I'm looking at it right now, and it again shows that Harris is up. The Marquette poll folks, for all of their scientific abilities, they seem to have the darndest time threading their tweets, and so you really have to do a lot of scrolling to find out exactly where they're coming from. But
that's what happens when you ask a pollster to tweet. So. You know what, Charles Franklin
knows Wisconsin like the back of his hand, but we probably need to have a conversation with Charles about Twitter.
Yes, yeah, I think so. Here's the exact tweet that came up. New Marquette Law School poll survey of Wisconsin finds Democratic Vice President Kamala Harris supported by 50%. And Republican former President Donald Trump supported by 49% in a head-to-head matchup of likely voters. That would be showing Harris slipping from September when it was 52-48. So it went from a Harris plus four to a Harris plus one. Again, that's the Marquette one, which is very different than the CNN one that you just read to us, Trigvi, which again reinforces the headline, breaking news, Wisconsin, still a swing state. Your vote counts.
Yes, but leaning slightly towards Harris.
Yes.
Well, so Trump, if Trump were to get 49 anywhere, frankly, that would eclipse his normal ceiling of 46, 47.
Yeah, I don't pretend to even promise to eat a hat, but you know, 49% for Trump, that would be eating hat territory of things I just don't see him getting.
He's not going to get above 47.6.
Yeah,
that's what I would say. Roughly, is this ceiling. This is interesting too because the Marquette poll has the partisan makeup as 36 Republican, 31 Democrat, 34 Independent, which says to me right off the top, it's a little heavy on partisans and a little light on independents. But we can ask Craig Gilbert about that in a little bit.
I was going to say that's par for the course for a Marquette poll. That's my one beef with them is the heavy Republican skew to it.
Yeah, it is slightly. And that's more than what the exit polls were in 20.
Right, right.
And honestly, this isn't 2016. So
no, say that over and over again.
No, and if it is, I think that Trump plays the Hillary Clinton role. As opposed, you know, someone who more than half the country is sick of him just being around.
If Trump wins, it's by under 10,000. If Harris could very easily win by like 60.
Yeah.
And as
Reid
knows, once with the back of a napkin in 2020.
Right.
I got asked by reading a bunch of people. They're like, what's going to happen in Wisconsin? Unfortunately, I had Craig Gilbert's Twitter feed and Joe Hendricks. And I wrote on the napkin, I think Biden wins by like 17-5. He was behind at the time. And it
right. ended up but also remember a significant undervote for Trump that year, too.
Huge undervote. Yep. So.
Well, there you go, Patrick. We will see you somewhere in Eau Claire tonight. Maybe I'll be passed out at Water Street. I'm not sure.
No,
we'll find out.
No, again, my apologies for the mix-up. The district is where to do it. So I just want to make sure I show up at the right time.
6:30 to 7:30 tonight. That'll be fantastic. People can listen to you every morning from 6 until 8 on the Civic Media Radio Network. And I want to get that in. You're going to be joining me at the election desk for Civic Media on election night, along with your duties at Courier News Service as well. So a busy night ahead next Tuesday. Tuesday. Pat, just a couple minutes left here, or a minute and a half or so. Give us the lay of the land up here in the great North Woods, at least north of Highway 29. What's your take? What are you feeling right now?
Well, when I look at the race now and I look at the commercials, it does lead to some concern because, as I was just telling Elise Jordan off air, reminding her that 2 years ago, Ron Johnson looked underwater the whole way through. But enough billionaire money from the Elines and Diane Hendricks, you know, dragged his carcass over the finish line with these wildly racist ads about Mandela Barnes. Well, now this year, it's anti-trans ads, which, again, enough negative ads worked for Ron Johnson. Could enough negative ads work for Eric Hovde? I have to say yes, just based on what happened with Ron Johnson before. So I'm not saying that to be alarmist. I'm saying nobody should be even thinking for a moment, maybe I don't have to vote after all. Oh, yes, right. You do.
Yeah. Every single vote is important. It's all going to come down to Wisconsin, as Trigvi and Reid have been telling.
Yes, he has been telling.
Yes, he has.
Anyway,
oh, no.
We'll be back with Elise Jordan of Morning Joe on the other side on the Todd Albaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks for joining us, Pat.
You betcha.
Oh, do we have internet now?
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is International Bat Week this week, and Wisconsin is home to 8 different species of them. I'm Ben Jarbo at the Midwest Farm Report, and Jennifer Riddell, a cave and mine specialist with the Wisconsin DNR, is here to explain what these species are and how they go about categorizing them.
If you look at our 8 bat species, they fall into 2 groups, and those 2 groups are determined by their winter survival strategy. All bats are, you know, up on the landscape in the summer months, roosting in trees and sometimes buildings or bat houses and foraging on insects at night. But in the fall, the tree bats, and that's the hoary bat, the silver-haired bat, evening bat, and eastern red bat, are migratory. And so they will go somewhere a little bit warmer, usually farther south, spend the winter time. But then we also have 4 cave bat species, and those include the very common big brown bat and little brown bat, previously the most common bat in Wisconsin, and also the tricolored bat and northern long-eared bat.
Riddell says that the white nose syndrome has taken out nearly 90% of the state's little brown bat population. But the numbers are starting to come back up. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll get you those midday markets right after this.
Ah, the seasons change, and so do the offers at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here for the crew at Bavaria Sausage, located at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. Always open online, BavariaSausage.com. Hey, listen, hunters, I know you're getting ready for your fall experience. Don't forget, Bavaria Sausage, ready to help you create some fantastic food products with what you harvest. Check out their website or talk to them personally. And if you're not paying attention to the calendar, Thanksgiving is just around the corner. And again this year, Bavaria Sausage offering you whole turkey options from locally grown sources. Just remember, get your order in today so that they can guarantee the supply is ready for you. Phone number 608-271-1295. That's 608-271-1295. Let the holidays begin early at Bavaria Sausage.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and now let's take a look at those midday markets from Chicago. A little bit of a mix today, but mostly in the upwards direction, as December corn is down 1 at 412 and 3 quarters, but November soybeans are up 10 and a half at 975 and 3 quarters. December wheat is up 5 and a quarter at 575 and 3 quarters. July wheat is up 3 cents at 610 and a quarter. As we take a look at milk, November classroom milk contracts are seeing minimal gain, up a penny at 2023 100 weight, while December Class 3 milk contracts are down 12 cents at 1982 100 weight. With a look at your midday markets from the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Here we go. Those temperatures are crashing. Got rain rolling in, ramping up tonight, potentially mixing with snow through the overnight and into early tomorrow morning before it flips to all snow tomorrow afternoon. Trick-or-treat forecast, temperatures will be at 34 degrees. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 51 degrees.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I discuss independent film Green Bay Style. Caitlin Schuchart from the Green Bay Film Festival joins me in studio, and then we celebrate Henry Winkler's birthday. Someone has to. With comedian Mike Toomey.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Sal will go a long way. Gives you indigestion most all of the day. Put it on the menu, you'll be sure to say.
Yes, the little
left Sal will go a long way.
This is what you have when you bring a Norski to the Norski Nook here in Osseo, Wisconsin. You get songs about Lefse by request on the Trivi Olsen Spotify list. Welcome back to the Norski Nook here in beautiful Osseo, Wisconsin. We are live on location with the Todd Allball Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We appreciate Mr. Kreitlow and Mr. Zommers helping us out here the first half hour while we get our technical problems in hand. But things are rock and rolling now. They always rock and roll. But we have our next guest join us. She is the fantastic Elise Jordan, a political analyst for NBC News, MSNBC, including the great program called Morning Joe. Of course, a contributor to Time Magazine and an advisor to the Ashcroft in America Research Project, studying voter attitudes. And she's also just a great, cool person. Elise, welcome back to the program with Reed Gale and Trygve Olsen. Nice to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me. I want to hear about what y'all are seeing in Wisconsin. I'm jealous.
Well, we've been having a heck of a time, Reed. How you been? I've been liking it so far.
I love Wisconsin.
Well, thank you.
I think it's great. I'm going to write a whole love letter to Wisconsin. I started it this morning, and I just think it's the best place in the world. I'm not being sarcastic like I normally am. I really do love it here.
We appreciate that.
I bring home great cheese just from the airport. Even if I forget, I can always just bring home cheese, and it's awesome.
Elise loves airport cheese.
Oh, really?
EJ has a
Wisconsin
hockey jersey.
Fine cheese. No, it's like the real good Wisconsin cheese at the airport.
Right. No, there are like Car Valley and Hooks. They sell their great artisan cheeses at the airport. Elise, we could sit and talk about cheese all day, but I'm not sure if you heard. the new Marquette Law School poll is out among likely voters. Things, surprise, surprise, have tightened here less than a week before Election Day, as it's now Harris 50, Trump 49 in the U.S. Senate race. According to Marquette, it's Baldwin 51 and Eric Hovde 49. What do you make of the numbers, if anything?
I like that CNN poll better that just dropped where Kamala's up 6, I believe. You know, at this point, you just got to grit your teeth and see how it's going to roll. It's I'm looking at those urban centers. How is early turnout looking in those early centers in Wisconsin? I haven't really been following what's happening there. But it just, I'm really sitting on the edge of my seat like the rest of the country, because I think it's going to go one way, but it could go the other way just so easily, which is, you know, why we're all in this state of panic and worry.
Some of the early numbers came out, and Dane County was, I haven't checked the last couple of days because we've been on the road, but Dane County was leading the state as of a couple of days ago in early returns. So I think that would bode well for Harris. But I mean, Reed, Trygve, you've run these races before. What do you make of these new numbers from Marquette?
I think anecdotally, when we were on campus at the University of Wisconsin on Monday, again, you know, it's Madison, it's UW, so take it for what it's worth. But, you know, I was there with the Wisconsin Democrats in Wisco, and they were overflowing with volunteers looking for stuff to do, for places to go. The Republicans, the University of Wisconsin Republicans, had two people, a young woman and a young man, and the poor young man was dressed as an elephant, and they were all by themselves. So, I mean, again, it's
lonely.
It's Dane County, it's Madison, I get it, but there were, you know, 25 or 30 people there looking for work to do.
Right.
It's a big school, though. I mean, they should have had at least 5 college Republicans, not just 2.
Well, I told them, as I walked by, as I was leaving, I said, guys, I was once a Republican. It's not a life sentence. And they didn't think that was funny.
But Reed made it out alive. So everything is fine. Trygve, you and Elise have worked on numbers across the state. You've been tracking in focus groups. Some of these people, what are you seeing in these numbers and the work that you and Elise have done?
I think, you know, the reality is Wisconsin's going to Wisconsin. So it's going to be close. I think if you look at those two polls, the CNN, and Elise and I know the SSRS people who do the CNN poll really well. They're credible people, and we obviously know Charles and
and Craig Gilbert. You know, I kind of get the sense being here that it probably is like a 51-47.9 kind of race towards Harris, and she probably wins by like 60,000 votes, something like that. Could Trump win? Yeah, we could wake up. But Trump's kind of got to draw an inside straight. And he always had to.
Yeah.
You know, what it means down ballot, I think Tammy and Hovde is going to be really tight. And, you know, what really will be fascinating is what happens in the 3rd and the 8th, the congressional districts, because Dr. Lyerly, Cook versus Van Orton and Weed, like, those races are going to be really telling. It also tells you a lot, and I want Elise's thoughts on this. You know, so Trump is in Green Bay today, and the MAGAs around the country all think they're going to win because Brett Favre is campaigning for him. Elise, you're from Mississippi. You want to talk a little bit about Brett? And remember, I love Brett, but
and this is a family show, Elise. So.
Yes, no, it shows exactly the values that Donald Trump represents. That he thinks that having Brett Favre stand alongside him is a good thing. You know, it's unsurprising from Favre's explicit photos that he shared. You know, that's the kind of man that Trump would want to hang around with. But then in Mississippi, he is really unpopular just because of our massive welfare scandal. It was the biggest scandal in Mississippi's history. You know, around $77 million in funds that were spent inappropriately. And $5 million of that went to a volleyball court where Brett Favre's daughter played at University of Southern Mississippi in Vicksburg. And Favre got paid $1 million for speeches he never gave. When, keep in mind, only about 20% of the people who qualify ever get any of this money, period. It's like the number is so low. Like right now, it's only like 303 people in the entire state get this welfare money, yet Brett Favre manages to get $1 million in payment for himself and $5 million for a volleyball court. And the worst part of it might be that his daughter left for LSU soon thereafter.
Of course.
So you're not a Brett Favre fan?
No. But I have to be very careful about what I say, though, because he sues so many journalists for defamation for even talking about, you know, what is going down in that case.
Right.
So
just we'll say allegedly.
Allegedly.
I think, you know, Brett Favre, there's a lot of people in Wisconsin. I mean, he won a Super Bowl. Legend, and for me, I separate what he did on the football field. Just strictly from a football standpoint, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever to play the game. But what's disappointed me is, you know, who he has become after the NFL. To this case in Mississippi, you're talking about the welfare gate scandal, and also, quite frankly, at least at this point, we know who Donald Trump is. You know, after everything, and for someone like him to stand up and use his position to endorse that type of hate and rhetoric, it's not Wisconsin.
But it's the perfect play for Trump, who is just digging as deep as he can to appeal to men. And that's really, you wonder, like, what was that on Sunday night? Was that just, does he not care about women voters, period? It was just this display that isn't going to appeal to anyone but, you know, the red-blooded American male who is looking for that kind of leadership. And, you know, at this stage in the game, you know, try just, you know, to show a modicum of interest in independent women.
Well, I mean, I think what you're talking about, though, Elise, is, you know, when push comes to shove, Trump and his campaign have always gone back to the base. They've always gone back to the most fervent supporters, because in his mind, and it's true, I think in reality too, is that they've always been there for him, right? Mm-hmm. And so those are the people he always goes back to. I think also based on these surveys that you all are talking about, you know, I think they're underreporting women as far as the lead that Harris likely has. I have a very hard time believing that Harris is up 3 with women in whatever state you were talking about. In Pennsylvania, like that just... I mean, well, okay, let's say that even Pennsylvania is more MAGA than you think it is. Like, that just doesn't track for me, especially anecdotally. We're hearing, you know, look, there's ads out there. We've heard from our team at the union that there are a lot of women in the ex-urban rural areas who are very much glomming onto or holding on to the idea of, like, when I go in that polling place, my husband doesn't know what I'm going to do.
Right.
And so that to me just seems – like that. Again, if some of these polls overrepresent Republicans, it seems like they're underrepresenting where women are.
Elise, let me pick up on that. Obviously, as the only woman on this panel right now, this thing my sisters told me about of women going into stalls, putting post-it notes on the backside of the stall saying your husband doesn't have to know who you vote for. And then yesterday, I mean, you and Reed especially know Bush world really well. Barbara Bush, one of the daughters of George W., comes out and endorses Harris yesterday.
Yes, I'm very proud of Barbara. She's a dear friend, and she always follows her conscience, and that's how she was raised. And she went out on the ground canvassing with other volunteers. She doesn't want attention. She's a very private person, but this came out in the press, and she is open that, yes, she's supporting Kamala Harris. And it just shows how difficult it is for any Republican woman to support Donald Trump. Even if you start thinking, oh, I like this policy, I like that policy, then you go back and you remember what he said about women, the policy he wants to enact against women. And it just is impossible to do. And the debate was such a microcosm of the overall landscape of Kamala Harris being so well prepared, and then you have Trump just wandering up to the stage aimlessly like he was lost. And then, of course, he did get gutted on the stage.
Well, I think also, you know, again, you know, I've known Barbara a little bit for a long time, not like you have, Elise, but I think also she showed a lot of the same kind of steel that her grandmother and namesake has too, right? Mrs. Barbara Bush, the late First Lady. She didn't take any guff off of anybody, right? And she was tough as nails, and God love her for it. And I think that Barbara showed some of that in this decision.
Definitely. And there's an amazing clip of Barbara Bush, the departed, talking in an interview with Jeb in 2016 and saying, I just don't understand, how could any woman vote for Trump? And it's very eloquent and just a good reminder that we don't have to just stick with party label. We can follow our conscience. And sometimes there's a vote that's bigger than just a policy issue. It's about your values and what you want the country to be and what kind of country you want your children to grow up in.
Well, and, you know, Elise, I'm sorry to jump in here, Todd, but I mean, I think that's the other part, too, is we should understand that the party that we were all a part of, you know, George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush, obviously, Mrs. Barbara Bush, even Ronald Reagan, like, guys, that party is gone. Yeah. The party that we were part of does not exist anymore. So I don't know that anybody who feels like they had some nostalgia or some connection to that, you shouldn't feel that way anymore. What you were a part of has, to use Elise's word, has departed, right? It has shed its mortal coil and its moral coil for that matter. And it is something completely different, and it will take years, if not decades, to rebuild something that resembles a center-right party that anybody, certainly me, would want to be a part of.
Yeah, I mean, that party is dead. You know, and honestly, these people who say, I like the policies, but I don't like Trump, but you know, it's the policies. What are they talking about? Then they espouse a bunch of traditional Republican policies.
Right.
It isn't even the reality. Right. Deficits ballooned under Donald Trump. He got taxes only for the rich. Like,
yeah, you know, no, he
said Putin's a genius for invading Ukraine. Ronald Reagan would not be voting for Donald Trump.
I mean,
it's actually kind of amazing. If you care about the deficit, Kamala Harris is a better candidate to vote for, even on policy. She's not, her economic policies are not going to expand the deficit as much as what Donald Trump wants to enact. And it's kind of crazy that that's where we are. The Democrat is better.
And if you're a Main Street businessman, same thing.
We met several yesterday.
Yes, totally. Yeah.
And we're sitting in a Main Street business right now.
Yeah, we are going to talk about the Norske Nook next hour, because we got to talk about the pie, Elise. The pie here is fantastic. Got to get trivia to bring it.
I know. You know what? When Elise and I were doing a little drive across, we didn't stop at the Norske Nook. Oh. I don't know if we came here with Michael or not. I don't think we did. But
the pecan pie was fabulous, as I noted.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Can you stick around for one more segment, Elise?
Sure.
I appreciate it. When we come back, I want to get your take as someone who's in touch, you know, nationally. Well, these guys are as well, but your personal take, particularly on Michigan and Pennsylvania, what your take is there. And more looking at crystal balls and seeing where this is all going to go. Don't go anywhere. We have Elise Jordan from NBC, MSNBC News. Also, Reed Galen from the Union, and Trinity Olson from Lincoln Project is the All Balls Show on location on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
It's quiz time. Here's your first question. Which senator joined the extreme left in Washington, D.C. to send COVID relief checks to prisoners, including the Boston Marathon bomber? Answer, Tammy Baldwin. Who backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin? Once again, Tammy Baldwin. Next question. Which senator even supported castration and mastectomies for minors? Time's up. It does sound crazy, but that was Tammy Baldwin again. Over and over, Baldwin has sided with the extreme left in D.C. Baldwin is for they, them, not you. And now for our final answer. It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Robinhood is introducing forecast contracts so you can trade the presidential election. Through Robinhood, you can now trade financial derivatives contracts on who will win the U.S. presidential election, Harris or Trump, and watch as contract prices react to real-time market sentiment. Each contract you own will pay $1 on January 8th, 2025, if that candidate is confirmed as the next U.S. president by Congress. Learn more about the presidential election contracts on Robinhood at www.robinhood.com/election. The risk of loss in trading commodity interests can be substantial. You should therefore carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your financial condition. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Commodity interest trading is not appropriate for everyone. Displayed prices are based on real-time market sentiment. This event contract is offered by Robinhood Derivatives, a registered futures commission merchant and swap firm. Exchange and regulatory fees apply. Learn more at www.robinhood.com/election.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to the Paddle Ball Show, live on location at the Civic Media Ready Network. We're here in Osseo, Wisconsin, at the beautiful Norske Nook. A little Violent Femmes to bring us back in out of break there. Great Milwaukee band, and of course, part of...
Oh, really?
The, yes.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, Violent Femmes are from Milwaukee. Wow. And they were in the brand new documentary called Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers run to the World Series. I got the bracelet on here. We've had the producer and the director on. So I'm not just saying this because I kind of sort of know the guys. It's a great movie. Hopefully it comes out streaming later this winter. So
cool.
Just a Bit Outside, a great baseball movie for all those watching. A great broadcaster, great journalist, great writer, Elise Jordan, political analyst for NBC News, MSNBC, including Morning Joe. You can catch her there tomorrow morning, a contributor to Time and an advisor to the Ashcroft in America Research Project studying voter attitudes. Pardon me, Reid Galen, one of the co-founders of the Lincoln Project, now president of the union, and somewhere helping to make lutefisk in the kitchen, our own Trygve Olson, the senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. You said, Elise, you said that Joe does this in the morning. Joe's head occasionally.
Well, occasionally, you know, if he gets a call or he has to jump up, he can do it just like a pro, seamlessly, be back before, you know, we even know it. It's pretty impressive.
Trygve, what do you think about that? Oh, never
mind. He's not here.
Yeah, he's not like Joe, though.
No, nobody's accusing Trygve of being smooth.
But let's fill Trigby's time with Elise a little bit here. Elise, you're in touch with places like Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and other places in Pennsylvania, a key state, along with Michigan, of course. All states, how are you seeing it from your sources?
You know, I'm feeling better about Michigan. The Harris campaign seems pretty confident that they've got a good operation, that the turnout is juiced, and that it's, you know, going according to plan. And as one amazing difference between Republican and Democrats is Republicans always have overconfidence and Democrats will just, you know,
yes,
freak out and worry. And so if they're confident, you're like, you got to think, something good's going on there. It's really Pennsylvania is just the huge question right now. I think that North Carolina is not going to happen for Democrats this year.
I don't think so either. And the Harris campaign just pulled down $20 million in ads.
Yeah,
I think Arizona is, though.
I think I've always felt better about Arizona. North Carolina was always a I'll believe it when I see it.
And Georgia. Quite frankly, Georgia's going to be really close to.
Well, Ken still didn't go to a rally with Trump. In word, he has endorsed Trump and seemingly is behind him. But then indeed, he isn't really giving the full body hug. So well, I think it's important with those Kemp Republicans who actually really like him.
Right. And again, I think that's one thing that, as we've talked about several times on the numbers, there are more voters available to Harris across the political spectrum than there are to Trump. Trump's got a very truncated part, coalition, 90% white, more male, more extreme. Harris is now expanding that. And again, for, let's say, those Brian Kemp, supporters, even if they show up and vote Republican, there's a really good chance some of them, and probably enough of them, will just leave Trump blank because they don't like him.
Yeah, they're
like him. They didn't like him in 20. They don't really like him now. Right. He went out of his way. There could be a lot of Georgians who are still upset and offended about the idea that the guy tried to steal their votes 4 years ago.
Imagine
that. That's such a minor thing.
Right.
I had somebody who would know said to me that there's at least 40 Republican members of Congress who have told these people that they aren't voting for Trump when they go in the ballot box. And the question that you have
to go away.
And so here's the thing. Trump is going to run his playbook, and he is going to have the MSG crowd, right? Like he's got his Trump bunt, the MAGA bunt, that will follow what he says. But there's a lot of people, including J.D. Vance, quite frankly, who are highly ambitious, Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, others, who may very well, when he tries to pull this stunt, recognize that while they have a fine balance to walk, they're never going to have a future if Donald Trump. They will start having some vested interest to not want that to happen.
But guys, and Elise, I want your take on this quickly. We have 2 minutes left here. What I'm tired of, and I'm not going to say the name, there's a guy out here that Trevi and I know very well, historic in Republican politics, now a big lobbyist, likes hockey, and he's on propping this crap up. And I'm sick of people in our former party continue to prop up racism, bigotry, and xenophobiaism. I'm sick of it, Elise. When are people going to grow a set in the Republican Party, like my former boss, Dale Schultz, or Rob Coles in the state senate here from Green Bay, and actually step up?
I think we're seeing who actually stand for small government, conservative values, for values of personal responsibility and standing for the Constitution right now. We're seeing that pretty big dividing line between those who have abandoned and those who have not. And there are policies that I can understand you like better that Donald Trump has. But at the end of the day, are you willing to take all the garbage that comes with that? That's the big question.
That's a lit word right now, as the kids might say.
I think to your point, I think that, this is, as we talked about, this is the party. Mm. I think that there are a lot of the people, whether or not it's Haley or DeSantis or, Josh Hawley or anything, like, they're fine with the Republican Party as it is. Yeah. They're fine with the belief system. They believe that they can probably, post-Trump, they can draw back all of those Republicans like we used to be, or enough of them anyway, and run themselves through the car wash where, oh, no, we're not as bad as he is. But you know what? It's still the same goons with all the money and all, like, the Ulines and the Leonard Leos. It's all those guys who are still going to be in charge.
30 seconds, Elise Jordan, predictions for election night, Harris-Trump.
I lean Harris, analytically Harris. Gut, sometimes I think Trump, but today I really am feeling better about Harris's odds.
U.S. House.
I think eke Democrat. Eke Senate. It out. Republican.
There you go. Put it in the bank. Elise Jordan, thank you very much from MSNBC. We'll see you tomorrow morning on Morning Joe on MSNBC. Thanks so much, Elise, for making time for us.
Bye.
Come on back live from the Osseo after this. We have pie. We have state representatives as well. Don't go anywhere. Jody Emerson is next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday, we'll hear from our friends at Motherhood for Good. They've spent months introducing us to women ready to lead. Now they offer some final words to moms about voting.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Alba joins us. Hey, Todd.
We're here in front of the Bonham Theater to talk entertainment. Todd forgot his battery pack. We are running off of Todd's truck engine.
I don't want to rub salt in the wound, but if your travel budget got cut, I'm just wondering if it coincided. All of a sudden, I got like a 10 grand a week per diem. I don't know if that is related.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.